This past Shmini Atzeres, Shabbos morning, I was in shul in Fairlawn at Arche Noam, and we had just finished a beautiful Hallel. We were saying the Kaddish right before Koheles, and two of the Balabatim in shul come running over to me in the front. They say, "Rabbi, come, you got to come to the back. I'll tell you something." And the first one of the guys, he says to me, he says, "Rabbi, we got to say Tehillim." What happened? "We got to say Tehillim." And he proceeds to tell me that, of course, he started hearing the news. Started hearing the news from different security personnel that we have around the shul. But what struck me was that the first place that he went to wasn't even to tell me that something had happened. The first thing that came out of a Jewish neshama was, "We have to say Tehillim." It was like, I didn't even know what happened. Nobody knew. Just, "We have to say Tehillim." Tehillim was like this gut reaction, an impulsive response. "We have to say Tehillim." Even before, that's just where we go. I know I've felt that way all week. Whenever I've gotten together at a Tehillim gathering, whether in school, shul, broader community, there's something very powerful when we get together and share our collective voice. And I wanted to discuss for a few minutes tonight the unique power of that Tehillim, of a tefillah be'eis tzara. Davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during a time of distress, during a time of tragedy. Tefillah be'eis tzara is not just, certainly not just another tefillah, and it's not just another tefillah that's necessary. It's more pressing. Tefillah be'eis tzara has its own quality to it that I'd like to explore together with you tonight. We all know the oft-quoted debate between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of tefillah. The Rambam, of course, is of the opinion that there's a mitzvah to daven every day, and the Ramban, in his Hasagos to Mitzvah Hei of the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam, he says that perhaps there's no mitzvah d'oraisa whatsoever to daven. And if there is a mitzvah d'oraisa, it's only be'eis tzara. Halo davarhu, that if there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven, it's only be'eis tzara. What is that about? And many, because that machlukas gets so off-quoted, we don't pay enough attention to the fact that the Rambam also has a specific mitzvah d'oraisa to daven be'eis tzara. He doesn't talk about it in Hilchos Tefillah, where he talks about the mitzvah to daven every day, but he talks about it at the beginning of Hilchos Ta'anios. The beginning of Hilchos Ta'anios, the Rambam tells us in the Koteres that we have a mitzvah lizuk lifnei Hashem, to cry out before Hashem, to yell, to shriek before Hashem, b'chol eis tzara gedola shelo savo al atzibur, during any great time of distress, which Rachmana Litzlan should never happen upon us. And the Rambam goes on to explain in Halacha Aleph that he derives this mitzvah from a pasuk in Parshas Baal Oscha, which the Ramban himself quotes, from the pasuk in Baal Oscha, which tells us, "Vahare osem b'chatzotros," that during times of distress, during a melchama, during an eis tzara, we're obligated to blow the trumpets, to sound the chatzotros. And the Rambam apparently read those psukim as saying that not only are we obligated to sound the trumpets, but the sounding of the trumpets itself is meant to evoke from within us, to spur us to a tefillah. The sound of the trumpets itself is not sufficient. It's meant to be a tefillah that's accompanied by our own crying, by our own shrieking, by our own yelling out to Hashem. And so the Rambam as well has a mitzvah to daven be'eis tzara. There's only one problem with the Rambam. And this is a question presented by the Mabit, by Rabbi Moshe Trani, lived in the 1500s, originally learned in Turkey, and then he went on his way to Eretz Yisrael and he settled in Tzfat. And the Mabit, in his Sefer Beis Elokim, where he speaks about tefillah, the Mabit asks a very compelling kasha. Says, we know from the Gemara in Brachos, in two places, Lamed Aleph and Chaf Dalet, that there's a prohibition to daven out loud. We all daven Shmona Esrei every day, and we go out of our way to enunciate the words, but we make sure that the words should not be audible to the person next to us on our right or on our left. And of course, we learn that from who? From Chana. Tfilas Chana. V'kola lo yishamea. Chana's words could not be heard. And so we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, based on that Gemara in Brachos Lamed Aleph, that so too our words should not be heard. Not only that, but the Gemara in Brachos Chav Dalet says that one who raises his voice in tefillah, or one who makes his words audible, he's miktane amana, a person of weakened faith. And Rashi says, why is he of weakened faith? Because you're turning to Hashem to express your requests, to express your needs, and you're saying to Hashem, you're only going to hear me if it's out loud, as if Hashem can't hear if it's quiet. So when we raise our voice, we're saying, what? Hashem only hears a certain type of tefillah. It's a weakened faith. It's a problem, a compromising of our emunah. And so how could it be that tefillah be'es tzara violates the rule that governs every other Shmona Esrei that we daven throughout the year? Tefillah be'es tzara, says the Rambam, is za'aka, lizok lifnei Hashem, to yell out before Hashem, to make ourselves audible. What happened to Tfilas Chana? What happened to the rule that we follow every other day of the year? So one approach to this question, we can glean from a closer analysis of the Rambam in his treatment of the mitzvah to blow the trumpets. The Magen Mishneh, at the beginning of Hilchos Ta'anios, points out that the Rambam counts together, he groups together, two different iterations or instantiations of the mitzvah to blow the trumpets. The Torah tells us to blow the trumpets during an Eis Tzara, and also when we offer a communal sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash. We blew the Chatzotzos in the Mikdash. And the Rambam counts both of these as one mitzvah. Says the Magen Mishneh, I don't understand at all. How could it be that the Rambam would count both of these iterations of the trumpets together in one mitzvah? After all, they come from two separate parts of the pasuk. And could you have two contexts, two situations that are more different from one another? In Eis Tzara, time of tragedy, of trauma, where we cry out to Hashem, versus the chatzotos of a communal sacrifice, us getting together to give a sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash, supposed to be given with jubilation, on a high, that we're able to offer a sacrifice in the holiest place on earth. How could the Rambam group both of these together? The Prima Gadim suggests, based on a Sefer Achinuch, that there is a strong common denominator between these two types of trumpets, between the Chatzotzos in the Mikdash and the Chatzotzos in an Eis Tzara. And the common denominator goes as follows. When we blow the Chatzotzos in the Mikdash, why do we do so? Says the Sefer Achinuch. Because whenever we give a korban, our kavana, our intent, our focus, our motivation needs to be pure and pristine. We know from so many laws in the Torah, like pigul or the like, that just the slightest variation, the slightest swerving away from a proper kavana can totally dismantle and torpedo a korban. Every korban needs to be accompanied by the perfect kavana, by the perfect intent. And so we use the chatzotzos to spur us and awaken us, to remind us to have the proper kavana. So too, says the Sefer Achinuch, we blow the chatzotzos during an Eis Tzara. Because when we daven during an Eis Tzara, that davening has a highlighted and emphasized, accentuated need for kavana. The Meshech Chachma points out on the Pasuk in Parshas Vayechi, where Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef HaTzadik, Va'ani nosati lecha shechem achar alachecha, asher lokachti miyano emori b'charbi v'kashti. Yaakov says to Yosef, I'm giving you an extra portion that I took from the emori, b'charbi v'kashti, with my sword and with my arrow. And says Unklus on the words b'charbi v'kashti, b'charbi tzlusa, b'kashti ba'usa. That I'm giving to you with my davening and with my beseechment of Hashem. And asks the Meshech Chachma, why is it that the word cherev stands for davening and the word Peshes. An arrow, a bow and arrow, stands for a beseeching of Hashem. And the Mesha Chachma establishes a very, very important yesod. He says that when it comes to a regular type of tefillah, the Shmona Esrei that we daven every day, three times a day, that's kavua for us, that's established, its text is firm and fixed. So for that, we know from the Gemara and Brachos, all that we have to have is kavana for the first bracha. Avos, you have to understand the words for the first bracha. But when it comes to a ba'usa, to a beseeching of Hashem, to a chiddush, something that doesn't ordinarily happen in one's life, and you turn to Hashem and say, Hashem, I need you here. I need you. This is not even part of my regular, ordinary routine of davening before you. This is something that supersedes, something that transcends that. It's a ba'usa. That, says the Mesha Chachma, is not a tefillah unless it has kavana throughout. And brilliantly, the Mesha Chachma says, that's why it's becharbi uvekashti. It's very painful imagery to conjure up here. But becharbi, says the Mesha Chachma, a cherev, a sharp sword, has power in and of itself. It doesn't take much human force, much human input and intent in order to inflict incredible damage with a sharp sword. Says the Mesha Chachma, that's routine prayer. You have kavana for the first bracha that propels the tefillah all the way forward. But the ba'usa, the beseeching of Hashem, during extraordinary times, when you have something specific and particular that you need, that's a keshes, that's a bow and arrow. It's only going to have its force if the person invests himself fully into stretching back that bow in order to shoot the arrow. The imagery of the bow and arrow tells us that when we beseech Hashem with a chiddush, with something that's happening in our life right now, not just the standard routine, then we need kavana throughout. It's not a tefillah without kavana. That's why the chatzotzos in an eis tzara, that's why we have a dafka during the eis tzara, to awaken within us a kavana for the entire prayer during the eis tzara. And so, let's bring it back full circle. How could it be that we raise our voices when we daven be'is tzara? How could it be? Because what is a tefillah be'is tzara without kavana? And when we need kavana, says the Beis Yosef, just like on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, there's a minog that people have to daven out loud. How could it be that they daven out loud, says the Beis Yosef? Because they need to have kavana. So too, when we daven be'is tzara, our tefillah needs to be b'chavana shlema, a chavana ritzuya, a total and complete kavana. From there we say, okay, we can daven out loud. But perhaps it goes one step deeper. Up until now, what we've assumed is that it's a special exemption, special, you know, kind of rule breaker that we're allowed to have kavana, that we're allowed to daven out loud when we have a tefillah be'is tzara because of the kavana that we need. But perhaps it's something much more definitional, something much more targeted than that. Rav Olshin, in his Sefer Yarech LeMoadim, suggests something beautiful. He says that a tefillah be'is tzara can be out loud. It can break the rules of every other tefillah because a tefillah be'is tzara is a tza'aka, a za'aka, a crying out to Hashem. It's not the way in which we do the tefillah. It's not that we make ourselves audible while we daven. No. The davening during an eis tzara has a different term. It's exactly what the Rambam says. Lizok lifnei Hashem. Davening during an eis tzara is the cry itself. It's not even the words. It's the cry that lies beneath the words. He quotes a Zohar that darshins the pasuk in Eicha. Tzaak libam el Hashem. Tzaak libam el Hashem. Their heart cries out to Hashem. And the Zohar says that a tefillah be'is tzara, a tzaak libam el Hashem, a tzaaka that comes from the depths of one's heart, of one's lev, stronger tefillah than any other tefillah that you have throughout the rest of your year. Why? Because this tefillah is a direct connection from a person's inner experience, from his heart, from his feeling, from his emotion, everything that's going on inside of him, that turmoil that you feel gets directly channeled to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with no medium in between. There's nothing to temper it. There's nothing to weaken it. There's nothing to change it. It's pure. Straight from the heart to Hashem, tzo'ak libam el Hashem. That cry, that za'aka is from libam el Hashem. And so why can I raise my voice when I daven be'ez tzara? Because that's what davening be'ez tzara is. When we say Tehillim be'ez tzara, we're saying the beautiful words, the poignant words of David HaMelech that speak to us in every single generation. And of course, we should pay attention to what the words mean and what we're asking for in those words. But let's not forget them when we say the Tehillim during an Eis Tzara. What we're really doing is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just see me. See me. Pay attention to the voice that underlies the words. I'm crying to you, Hashem. I don't know what to do. And to be honest with you, that's the way that I feel tonight. Seeing all week how much of Klal Yisrael has come together to do so much. It's gorgeous, beautiful. The unquenchable thirst for us to act, for us to do, for us. But you know what? At the end of the day, I don't know if I'm alone here, but I think I'm not. I think there's a part of us that needs to do so much because we feel so helpless. Especially here in Galus. There's an extra pain of watching on the sidelines as our brothers and sisters are on the fields metaphorically and literally. There's an extra pain that we feel just watching from afar. Like, what do you want me to do? I feel tied. I feel paralyzed. That's what I'm doing in my Tehillim when I turn to Hashem. Saying, you know what, I'm trying everything I possibly can. And I feel so just decimated, so desperate. Hashem, just see that voice that's within me. Yes, we ask Hashem in our Tehillim for the salvation. And we ask Hashem for the defense. And we ask Hashem for the protection and the getting rid of our enemies and bringing our redemption. And all of those requests, they need the kavana shlema uritzuya that the chatzotzos bring out of us during an Eis Tzara, during the Korban. The kavana of bikashti, the kavana of taking that arrow. But besides for those requests themselves, there's something that's deeper, that lies beneath those requests. And that's us coming to Hashem and saying, I'm here. I'm here. I'm with you. I don't know what else to do. Just listen to my voice, because I'm here. Tzo'ak libam el Hashem. I have nowhere else to turn. And when we do that, so then that tefillah becomes something that is the greatest act of emunah that we can possibly do in this circumstance. The Ramban says in his commentary, not everybody quotes this part of the Ramban, the Ramban says that when there's a mitzvah de'oraisa be'ez tzara to daven, you know what the purpose of that mitzvah is? Do you know what the purpose of that davening is? To express our emunah in Hashem, that He is the one and the only one who has the ability to help us. When we turn to Hashem and say, just listen to my voice, what we're saying is, Hashem, I know that you're there. I know that you're there, and I'm turning to you because you're the only place to turn. What greater act of emunah could a person possibly have? The Tehillim is not just to get the result that we want. Yes, that's great. We should have as much Tehillim as possible to save our soldiers, to save our people, to get the protection that we need, of course. But the Tehillim speaks to us and our relationships with Hashem. It says, I am a mamin. In such a difficult circumstance, there's nowhere else to turn but to you. Forget the words. Just hear my voice, hear my cry, hear my tza'aka. When we come together in Tehillim, in a tefillah be'ez tzara, and we have Hashem listen to that sound, to that call, to that voice, Chazal tell us, for every other tefillah of the year, sometimes Hashem responds and sometimes not. He always listens. Sometimes He gives and sometimes not. but for a tefillah be'is tzara, when we give our entire selves over, we surrender our innermost feeling, our innermost being to Hashem, that is never chozer reikom, that never returns empty-handed. Together, who knows how long we'll be be'is tzara. Let's make sure to share our communal voice, our individual voices, and all together our communal voice, to turn to Hashem and say, we're here. We know that you're the only one who can help us.